Corinthians chapter 3, and then Luke chapter 24. And I'm going to ask you a question that you're going to probably think I'm a little crazy when I ask it, and then I'm not going to say anything about the answer to the question until the end of the message. So it'll be a mystery as far as what this has to do with the message, but I'll ask you this somewhat silly question. What do the following people have in common? Arnold Schwarzenegger. Y'all know who that is, right? Yes? No? Okay. All right. Just making sure. Living where we do, you know who Elon Musk is. And you know who this well-known chef? His name's Gordon Ramsay. You ever hear of him? Okay. Good. So what do the three people have in common? Arnold Schwarzenegger, Elon Musk, and Chef Gordon Ramsay. You'll find out at the end, okay? So we'll come back to that. It's probably very strange that I would mention those three people together, but we'll see how all this goes at the end. So let's start in Philippians chapter 3. And let's read the last two verses of the chapter, verse 20 and 21. Philippians 3, beginning verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Before I read the next verse, where are we supposed to be looking as we live our lives each day? Where should we be looking? Upward. How come? Folks, the next event to take place on God's timetable is the rapture of the church. All saved people will meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. There'll be a meeting in the air. So you ought to look up there every once in a while. You ought to take at least once a day, look up in the clouds and say, could be today. Because it could be, right? I know a lot of times, it's 2023 is when it's going to happen. Oh, 2030 is when it's going to happen. Come on, stop it. You don't know that. I don't know that. Could it be tonight? It could be. Could it be still a ways away? It could be. But none of us know that. So you're supposed to be ready when? All the time, all right? The Lord keeps you on your toes. Look at verse 21. At the rapture, look what's going to happen. Verse 21. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. So notice there in verse 21, the vile body that I have right now and that you have will be changed into what kind of body? A glorious body. And it says, like unto His glorious body. That would be the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I would kind of like to know what the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorified body, I'd like to know what it's like. I'm going to have one day, and if you're saved, you're going to have a glorified body one day, right? Tonight we're going to have a little fun and look at what the Bible says about what that body will be like. Go to Luke 24. Now you talk about this is one of the neatest accounts to read in your Bible. I'm going to save a little time here and tell you what's happening, and then we'll read a few verses. But this is after the Lord has risen from the dead, and there's these two fellas. They're walking on this road, and they're talking about what just happened in Jerusalem to Jesus Christ. One of the guys' name is Cleopas. You find that in verse 18. And you're not even told what the other guy's name is. But these guys are talking, just the two of them. They're having a conversation. And they're perplexed about what has just happened, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So guess who meets them on the road? The Lord. But they don't recognize Him. They don't realize, here's the very one we've been talking about. They don't realize that. In fact, if you look at verse 17 and 18, then we'll skip a little bit, but I'll give you a little bit here. It says, this is the Lord talking, verse 17. He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? So the Lord's playing like He doesn't know what's going on there. And look at the answer, verse 18. And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Verse 19. You got to laugh when you read this. And He said unto them, what things? See, the Lord's just playing with them to see what they're going to tell Him. He knows all about it, obviously. And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which is a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. So they're having a conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they don't realize it's him. It's actually very, very interesting to read that. Now, if you look at what he says after they tell him all the things that have happened, go down there to verse 25. Look what the Lord says. This is Jesus Christ talking to these fellows. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning who? Now, of all the sermons in the Bible, that's one that I would like to have heard. Not really a sermon, just him talking to them. But I would love to have heard that conversation. You know what you got right there in verse 27? You got Jesus Christ teaching from the scriptures about Jesus Christ, about himself. And where's he going to do that? The New Testament's not even written yet. He goes to the Old Testament for that. If you're missing out on enjoying your Bible, you know what you ought to do? Read your Old Testament and look for Jesus Christ all over the Old Testament. Pictures of Jesus Christ are all over the Old Testament. This time of year, we talk about Pastor talked about it on Wednesday night, the Passover lamb. And how the lamb had to be slain and the blood had to be applied to the doorpost. And then Pastor here Wednesday night mentioned the timing with that, how it matches the very date of his own crucifixion with the Passover lamb being slain. Really neat stuff. All through the Old Testament you'll find that. That's a whole other message. But then look what happens in verse 28. Now remember, the things you're going to read about, this is the Lord in his glorified body. So watch some details here. Verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. I tell you, I read those two verses right there, and this is not the message, but 28 and 29 are really neat. The Lord is going to go a little further. But what do these two fellows want? They say, hey, no, stay right here with us. And then what does he do? He stays with them. The Lord wants to be desired. Did you know that? Does he force his way upon anybody? Absolutely not. These two fellows say, hey, no, we don't want you to go on. We just want you to stay with us. Isn't that our attitude? Should it be like that? Lord, I want to be close to you. I want you to be here with me. All right, look at verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Now, hold on a second. This is part of the points in the message, so I won't go too long. But, Brother Paul, you ought to like that verse right there. That's Jesus Christ in his glorified body. And you know what he's doing with them? He's having a meal with them. Amen. I'll say a few things about that here in a minute. Look at verse 31. And their eyes were open, and they knew him. And then look what happens. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Folks, you know the only person that can open up the scriptures to you? You got to know the Lord Jesus Christ or the scriptures will be a closed book to you. You won't understand. So the Lord's the one that opens it up to him. Now look at 33. I'll try not to comment too much here as we read. I'll get all the comments in the message. But 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. And saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. All right, so we're going to have a little fun tonight. We're going to talk about the glorified body of Jesus Christ, and the reason why we're going to talk about it is, number one, his body, after he rose from the dead, he's able to do things that he did not do prior to his death. And did you know that Philippians said we're going to have a body like his? So the characteristics that we see and the things we see him doing when he rose, after he rose from the dead, in that body, you know what that means? We will have the ability to do the things that he did in his glorified body. Because what's our body going to be like? Like his glorified body. So, I got to preface the message by saying what we're reading is not science fiction. It's true. It's biblical truth. But it's kind of interesting how Hollywood has ripped off some of the things I'm going to talk about tonight and made you think that it's not real for these types of things to be able to happen. And the thing you got to get straight is the things we're going to read about are possible with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way. That's the only way, all right? So let's pray together and we'll get into this. Lord, we just ask for understanding, as we read about here, that only you can open up to us the understanding of the Scriptures. I pray that we'd all be encouraged tonight. We would see some things about our future bodies for all those who are saved. And I pray that we'd be encouraged by this. And you just really open up some things to us that would help us tonight and the week ahead. I pray for all of us to be bold witnesses for you in these last days. And to take a stand for the truth, even if it's costly to us. And we just ask again that you would direct us and have your way here as we look at a bunch of different scriptures. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to give you 3 points here about this glorified body. And here's the first one. I'm just going to hop right in here. The first one is the ministry of Jesus Christ in his glorified body. Do you realize, this is something you know, but maybe you hadn't thought much on, he rose from the dead, and then he's still on earth for how many days after he rose from the dead? Anybody know? 40 days. So we don't have all the details on what's happening in those 40 days, but we do have some information. So 40 days, he's on earth in a glorified body before he ascends into heaven. So let's talk about the ministry that he had in his glorified body. Notice there, you're in Luke 24. Look at verse 25 again. He says there, then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the, who? Prophets have spoken. He mentions the prophets there. And then he says in verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I see Jesus' ministry after he rose from the dead focused on the scriptures. Just like his ministry before he died was focused on fulfilling the scriptures. Did you see down there? It's in verse 44. Look at verse 44. We have a verse in the New Testament where it tells us how to study the Bible. And it says to rightly divide the word of truth. How about we get some Bible divisions from the Lord himself? Look at verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the, look at the first one, the law of Moses, and in, second one, the prophets, and in the Psalms. There's a third one concerning me. There the Lord gives you 3 divisions of your Old Testament. First 5 books of your Bible, what do we call that? The law, yeah, Genesis, Deuteronomy, the law of Moses, because Moses is the author there. And then the prophets, we've got the minor and the major, don't we? And there's 5 major prophets, 12 minor prophets. And then the Psalms, we've got a whole lot, we've got 150 of those, don't we? And did you know, according to verse 44, you could go to the first 5 books of the Bible, you could go to the major and minor prophets, and you'd go to the Psalms, and you could pick verses out of those books in your Bible and preach, guess who? The Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let me just give you, real quick, Give me a little audience participation. In Isaiah, that's the big one, where will you find prophecies about the Lord? In Isaiah, folks. Isaiah 53. Pastor's been there here recently. That's all about the crucifixion, paying the price. Where else in Isaiah? How about Isaiah 7:14? Prophecy of, anybody know? The virgin birth of Christ. How about Isaiah 9? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. A lot of that's not fulfilled yet, but it will be. Folks, you go all through there, over and over in your Old Testament, you'll see connections to the Lord Jesus Christ. How about in the Psalms? What's the most common Psalms that people go to show you things about the crucifixion? Where do you go? Psalm number 22. Some details about the crucifixion. Then you get to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And what did the Lord say He is? The good shepherd, right? All right, so all through there, you see over and over the Lord Jesus Christ, just over and over. So the Lord's focus after He rose from the dead, notice His focus is still where, folks? On the Scriptures, yes. So this will be a short point here. At this moment, a little application here. At this moment, at this time in my life and yours, if we are going to do anything for the glory of God, it will be the result of what we do with the Scriptures. I'll give you a few examples here with Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ was in the wilderness, tempted by the devil himself, what did the Lord say in response to the devil? What did He say, folks? It is written. It is written. And then I think the third time He says, it is said, appealing every time to something in your Old Testament. Folks, if the Lord needed the Scriptures to defeat the devil, who are we to think we don't need the Scriptures to defeat the devil? You know what I need to defeat the devil? I need the sword of the Spirit. And I need God's words hidden in my heart so I can use them whenever I need them, whether I got a Bible in hand or not. Our focus ought to be where the Lord's was, and still is, on the Scriptures. How about this one? You can study this out on your own. When the Lord was confronted by the Pharisees and Sadducees, and they asked Him these crazy questions, these off-the-wall questions, you know what He would say? Little phrase He would say many times, "Have ye not read?" And He'll make a reference to an Old Testament passage. And folks, the answer to questions that men have are found right here in the Scriptures. Right there. How about this one? I'll show you this one so you can see it. Go to Mark chapter 14. All the way up to His death, and even just the details prior to His death. Mark 14, go towards the end, verse 43. All the details of His life were centered on the Scriptures, obeying the Scriptures, fulfilling the Scriptures. And our focus ought to be on being obedient to the Scriptures as well. All right, look at Mark 14:43. This is where this band of soldiers comes to take the Lord, to arrest Him. Look at 14:43. And immediately, while He yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed Him had given him a token, saying, "Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, take him and lead him away safely." And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, "Master, Master," and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. Now all these details here, 47. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Now look what the Lord says here, all these events. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not." Now watch it. "But the Scriptures must be fulfilled." What was He focused on? Fulfilling the Scriptures. Obedience to God the Father. Now look at the next verse. "And they all forsook Him and fled." I'll give you the reference here to go to in your Old Testament. We won't have time to go there, but if you want to see where that is in the Old Testament, that they would forsake Him and flee, Psalm 31, verses 11 to 14. I mean, all those details leading up to the point where they leave Him. The reason why they leave Him is because they're scared. And all those things happen so that that very thing could be fulfilled exactly the way that the Old Testament said it would. Psalms 31, 11 to 14, you take a look at that. Very interesting. Folks, the Lord's life was intent on obeying the Scriptures, fulfilling the Scriptures. Now, I'll say this. During this life that we live, our intent ought to be on obeying the Scriptures. And you will not, and I will not, obey the Scriptures if we do not know the Scriptures. You can't obey something you don't know. How many of you took driver's ed, driver's education? I took that. I remember sitting in driver's education, and I had not spent, I don't know if I'd spent any time behind the wheel at that point in my life when I'm in the class. And the guys are going through all these laws, and I'm thinking to myself, man, I didn't know that, I didn't know that. And a lot of it didn't really make any sense to me until I started getting behind the wheel and driving. But I needed to know all those laws so that whenever I got behind the wheel, I could obey the laws. How are you and I ever going to obey the Scriptures if we don't spend the time in the Scriptures to learn the Scriptures? You won't know the Scriptures if you don't read them, study, and meditate on them. So here's my question for you to go along with this first point here. What have you been doing with the Scriptures? What have you been doing? Think about the last 7 days. I can remember what I've done the last 7 days. You go beyond that and I have a hard time. But the last 7 days, think about the time and energy you put into learning the Scriptures, whether you were reading, just doing your daily Bible reading, whether you were digging in and studying, whether you were trying to do a little memorization. You're welcome. This week's verse was short. All right. This month's verses are fairly short for the most part. But, you know, you ought to do a little on your own without the bulletin telling you what to memorize, right? And the time that you spend in the Scriptures, whatever you're doing with them, read them, study them, meditate on them, that is an investment. You know that? I know we all probably have money that we invest on various things. You know, I don't know what's going to happen to that money. James and I have talked about this. It frustrates me. The 401k, it goes in there. It might go up and it might go down. I have no idea. I'm investing, but I'm not guaranteed that it's going to go up. This is a surefire investment. Time spent in the Scriptures, there is a return on it every time. You don't always see the return immediately, do you? But day after day, over the long haul, there's a return investment on the Scriptures. Take time to be in the Scriptures. The Lord was focused on the Scriptures even after He rose from the dead. Ours ought to be now. Here's a little fun thing on this. When we get our glorified bodies, do you think the Scriptures will have any role in our lives? What do you think? Think about it. In the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ here on earth, won't you and I be in our glorified bodies? Now, you know what you read about. You read this some in the New Testament, and you'll see some connections in the Old Testament. There's going to be certain elements of that Old Testament law in effect during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Because King Jesus doesn't play around. When He says something, He means it. And the justice system will be, it'll be strict. And I think we ought to know a few things about our Old Testament and how things will be during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, because the Scriptures will be important then, just like they're supposed to be important now. How's the Lord going to rule? Don't we have a law book here in the state of Florida, here in the United States? We have a book with laws written that guide those who enforce the law, right? The policemen and the judges. Do you think that Judge King Jesus Christ is going to have a law book? Here it is. It's right here. He will go. We don't have to wonder about whether His interpretation of the law will be accurate. It will be 100% of the time. Isn't that going to be a great thing? No wrestling. Oh, we're going to go to the Supreme. We're going to go above Jesus to the Supreme Court. He is the Supreme Court. He's the Supreme One. So He will do it exactly as it should be. So something to think about. Something to really think about is the role of the Scriptures in the future. After we have our glorified bodies, I believe they still have a major role in our everyday life, even then. Okay, let's go to the next one here. Go back to Luke 24, and this second point of the message is just for Brother Paul here. We talked about Jesus' ministry centered on the Scriptures. How about we talk about His meat? And I say M-E-A-T. And if you don't know this, in your King James Bible, when you see the word meat, M-E-A-T, it's a synonym for food. It's a synonym for food. So did you notice? Look there in Luke 24. Look at verse 30. Let's see what's for dinner here. It says, it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. So there's bread. Do you notice what happens right after that verse, verse 31? And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. There's a lot going on right there. But notice the timing. It is not until he breaks the bread, blesses the bread, and gives it to them that they know him. I find that interesting. Now, I don't know this for certain, but I'll tell you one thing I know for certain and one thing that I don't know. One thing I know for certain. The Lord, this is not the first time he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave to those that were with him. Do you remember another instance where this happened? Help me out. The feeding of the 5,000. Yeah. Oh, somebody said there at the Last Supper, there's bread present there too, isn't there? And he blessed it and gave it to the disciples there. Interesting. It is not until he does that, verse 31, that they know him. All right. Now, I know for certain that he had taken bread and blessed it, break it, gave to them before. Here's what I don't know, but I really wonder. I wonder if those two fellows were at the place where Jesus fed the 5,000. And the very moment they see him for the second time, take that bread and bless it and break it and give it to them, they go, oh, I know who that is! Now, I don't know that for sure. It's a possibility. That's one of those speculative things. But isn't it interesting? They don't know him until he sits down and eats with them. You don't have to go there, but Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And the Lord's knocking on the door, and he wants in. It says, he that opened the door, I will enter in and sup with him. You know what sup is? It's have a meal. You know what the Lord wants to do? Every time you open your Bible, ought to be him serving you a meal of spiritual food, right? Okay, now go, Brother Paul, you'll like this one too. Go down there a little further where there's more food mentioned. And it is in verse 42. Look at 41. 41 first. And while they yet believe not for joy, and that's where he's with the 11 disciples, believe not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? What a thing to ask. Just a random question by the Lord. You guys got anything to eat here? Right? And look at the answer. And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. So, the glorified body diet. You ready for this? Somebody could write a book on this. You got bread, you got broiled fish, and honey. I don't know if there's anything about those foods. I will tell you, there's a lot of brain power in fish. A lot of things good for your brain in fish when you eat that. And bread, obviously, has got some essential complex carbohydrates if you get the right kind of bread. And honey, the only food on planet Earth that never spoils. And all kinds of health benefits from honey, particularly if you get it locally. Isn't that something? Something about those foods. So maybe the glorified body diet is those three things, bread and fish and honey. Nobody's written a book about that yet. Somebody could do that. Something to that, maybe not. But notice what he says there, verse 43, what the Bible says, and he took it and did eat before them. Brother Paul, you saw that, right? He's eating in his glorified body. It's a sinless body. And I have to wonder, here's speculation. I wonder, since this body never dies, it really doesn't have to have nourishment. Correct? Why would the Lord be eating then? For enjoyment. Right? I like to eat for enjoyment, don't you? I think, Brother Paul, you're onto something there too. To prove to them, hey, I am in a body. Now, I'm not a spirit, and we'll say some things about that in a minute, but a body will actually put something in and chew it, and it'll go in and do its work. But a spirit would not. So he's proving that, yes, this is a body I'm in, and I got to think he's just eating for enjoyment right there. What a thing. I'm looking around here. Some of you fellas I know, you like to eat. I do too. You like to eat for just the sake of eating. Amen? How about a day where you will eat for the sake of enjoyment and never have to worry about cholesterol, gaining weight, any of that stuff? See, people who miss out on salvation are obviously missing out on the greatest thing ever. And there's things down the road. You know, we got it great right now. You got your sins forgiven. You know you have eternal life. You're going to have a body that is sinless that you're still going to eat in that body. Amen. So have a little fun with this here. Go over to John 21. Some more things on food here. John 21. Since you don't have the Lord's Supper tonight, I can go until 7:30, right? I'll try not to go that long. John 21. Now, this is a different account. Different account than what we saw in Luke, but some interesting things going on here. John 21, look at, and this is after the resurrection. Look at verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? There he is again. They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it out for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Now, before I read verse 9, the Lord asked if they had anything to eat, and they said no. So the Lord's going to make provision for them. And he says, I want you to cast your net out there. And notice at the end of verse 8, they've got a lot of fish in that net, right? Now, the last thing that happened, according to what we just read, is they got the fish in the nets. Look at the next verse. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. How did that happen so fast? Folks, this is the Lord. And maybe you could say, well, that some of the details were left out. I personally think that all the details are needed that we need right there. And the Lord is able to take those fish and have them cooked up as soon as they need to be. You might think I'm a little crazy for thinking that, but I believe what the Bible says there. Verse 10, Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. So he's got some and they got more coming. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. So something about there's the bread and the fish showing up again. The honey is missing. But notice there's a couple different instances there where in his glorified body, the Lord is having something to eat. I think that's a neat thing right there. Now go over to Revelation chapter 7. Are we going to have food in heaven? What do you think? I'll prove it from your Bible that we are. Look at Revelation 7. Look at verse 13. This is these are the verses about the martyrs in the tribulation. Verse 13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So again, these are in heaven now. 15, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Now look at verse 16. They shall what no more? Hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. But watch verse 17. They're not going to hunger anymore, but look at verse 17. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them. Are they eating in heaven? Sure are. And shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There is food being served in heaven by the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? So, answer the question. Are we going to have food in heaven? Let me give you another one. Yes, we are. Go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. This is the chapter where the Lord returns to the earth. And let's read there. Yeah, here it is. Look at verse 7. Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write. Now watch verse 9. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Folks, there's going to be a wedding. And I know that Sherry's Italian, so Italians, when they have weddings, you better believe, you know what they're going to do? They're going to have some food. And our wedding, we had really, really good food. And it was one of the features. Okay, you know, you go for the ceremony. It's like, okay, let's get through this so we can get the food, right? The poor people at our wedding had to wait like an hour because the pictures took so long. Just waiting for that food. But one of the characteristics of a wedding, it doesn't have to be like this, but often is there's food served. Amen? At the marriage supper of the Lamb, obviously there's going to be a meal. Amen? Answer the question. Will there be food served in heaven? Sure does sound like it, doesn't it? All right, so let's go back there to Luke 24, and let's get this last thing here. We've got the ministry of the Lord after he rose from the dead. We've got the meat of the Lord. Now, this one this is the one where things get very interesting. Go back there to Luke 24. Just point out a couple things that we read, but just some details here. So we got the ministry, we got the meat. And the last thing I'll give you here is the movement of the Lord, his movement. And before I get to this third point, I do want to say something. It's very interesting how things people chase down here on earth are just fakes of the real thing up in heaven. Everything down here is so temporary and fake when it comes to, obviously nothing is eternal down here. But we get our focus often on things of this earth that are just ripoffs of something much greater up there. What do men chase down here? They chase money, don't they? Silver and gold. Folks, what are the streets made out of up there? You've never seen gold down here like what's up there. Be walking on that. Down here, people, don't walk on that. I gotta have that and put that in my bank account. I mean, you understand how people chase things, and I'm guilty myself, chasing things down here that are just fakes of something far better down there. It's just a ripoff, an artificial means of something real that's up there in heaven. So with that in mind, this is one of those things here. I'll point some things out to you. Look at verse 30 here in Luke 24. We read verse 30. Verse 31, something that I mentioned, but let's get a little more on it. After he eats with these two fellows, verse 31, their eyes were open, and he knew them. And what happens next? He's there one moment, and he's gone. He vanished. Now, is the Lord in an actual body, or is he a spirit? Because I've seen the science fiction movies. Come on, so have you. And when people vanish like that, they're not usually real. In fact, Hollywood's really good about ghost-like figures having a different appearance than a real figure, right? Keep in mind, that's Hollywood. That's nonsense, all right? But look at verse 33, and let's see what else happens here. These fellas go to Jerusalem in verse 33, and they tell these 11 disciples that the Lord is risen, verse 34. And then look at 35. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Now, before I read verse 36, get the idea here. The Lord was with these two fellas on the road. Suddenly he's gone. These two fellows make their way to Jerusalem. They find the 11 disciples. And they're saying, man, we saw him. He's alive. We saw him. We had something to eat with him. And here they are, these two fellows, with these 11. And look what happens in verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be unto you. Folks, where did he come from? He's not there, and he's there. And it's a glorified body that he's in. It's not a spirit. And it tells you that here in a minute. Look at verse 37. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a lot. Now, why would they say that? Because never in their life have they been in a place where there's nobody there and then suddenly somebody is there. They've never witnessed this before. So they think something weird is going on here. And they say, okay, it must be a spirit. And then look at 38. He sets them straight. And he said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say flesh and blood. Which makes me wonder, where's his blood? Help me out. Where's his blood? His blood was shed for sinners like me and you, right? I don't know that he has a drop of blood in his body at this point. My guess would be no. Now, I might be a little crazy on that, but that's my guess. He said purposely, flesh and bone. What's going to cause you to die one day? Some problem with your blood? You say, well, it's going to be a heart that's going to stop beating. Yeah, exactly. And what does that heart pump? Blood. He doesn't say flesh and blood. And I'll show you another verse that goes along with that one here in a minute. But let me finish up here. Look at verse 40. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Now, what did they see in his hands and his feet to prove that he is the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah. The only man-made things in heaven will be the wounds that Jesus Christ had from being on the cross. The only man-made things in heaven. You follow me on that? Isn't that interesting? And why would that be the case? Why would that be allowed? There's proof that he is truly the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that neat? Now, let's go on here and let's go over to John 19, John chapter 20 again. John 20. John chapter 20. A couple more places here. Now, if the Lord in his glorified body could be in a place and then suddenly be elsewhere, you know what they would call that in modern science fiction terms? They would say that's teleporting. But folks, that's not science fiction, what we're reading right here. That is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified body. Isn't this fun, by the way? This is fun to think about what we're going to have one day. And it's got nothing to do with me. It's got nothing to do with you. It's got all to do with what the Lord did for us so that we can have it. That glorified body. All right, look at John 20. Look at verse 19. You get a little detail here from what we didn't get in Luke. Then the same day, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Notice that little detail the Holy Spirit gave you in verse 19. When the doors were shut. How do people get in a room? They walk through the door. How did the Lord get in that room? He's just there. He went right through the door. Didn't open the door. He goes right through the door. And then it says, verse 20, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified body had the ability to just vanish, Bible word, and then just reappear somewhere else. Folks, this is not science fiction. This is your Bible. This really happened. And what I read in Philippians, our glorified body will be like his. I certainly believe ours will have the same abilities. I really do. And you say, oh, then it'll be about us. No, it's not. We'll be, even in our glorified body, I really believe, we'll be bragging on, yeah, I could do none of this except for what Jesus Christ did for me. He'll still get the glory. We will realize all these things that are capable, I'm capable of now, is only because of him. All right, one more place here, and this is where we'll kind of wrap things up, and I'll tell you about those three fellows I said at the beginning. You'll maybe put all the pieces together with them. We'll go to Acts chapter 1. I'll tell you what, let's go two places here. Acts 1, and then if you'll find 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll wrap up there. Acts chapter 1, and then if you'll find 1 Corinthians 15. So Acts chapter 1 first. So you know in the book of Acts is the last earthly appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Acts chapter 1, go there first. Look at verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now look at verse 9. Remember, what kind of body is the Lord in at this time? This is after the resurrection. This is 40 days after the resurrection. He's in a glorified body. Look at verse 10. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Gravity cannot hold down the glorified body of Jesus Christ. Gravity can't hold him. This earth could not hold him. Now, remember, we read about, in Philippians, the future body of believers, fashioned like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you wonder, is there going to be a time where you and I maybe will be down here, and just like the Lord did right there in Acts 1:9, we're down here one moment, and then going up there, what do you think? What do you think? 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 50. This is going to go along with the flesh. What I mentioned earlier about the flesh and bone, or what Jesus said about flesh and bone. Look at verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and what? Cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There's a whole study there you can do on blood, and rather than flesh and blood, it's flesh and bone, well, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it might be the same with us. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be what? Raised. How? Incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You know what I am right now? You know what you are right now? Not trying to be mean. I'm just giving you a Bible. I'm corruptible. My body is corruptible. You know what I am right now, and so are you? I am mortal. But at the rapture, and this is describing what takes place at the rapture, you can compare 1 Thessalonians 4, goes right along with it. At the rapture, I will no longer be corruptible, and you will no, anybody who's saved will no longer be corruptible, and instead will be incorruptible, and instead of being mortal, will be. Isn't that what modern science is chasing after right this second? Let me put all the pieces together for you here. God promises to give saved people everything that science and education have worked toward for thousands of years and have not attained and never will. Look at the latest science magazines in the last year or so, and you'll see articles about we're getting a little closer to man living forever. What a joke. Is this not going to happen? And they're going to say, this is the power of science. You've heard all about the power of science in the last year. I'm about sick of hearing it. Science isn't helping us one bit, is it? Think about a few things here. And this will put the pieces together with those three fellows I mentioned here in a minute. Space travel here on the Space Coast. Some good things have come about as a result of space travel. I'm sure you could find a few things. But notice how man is never satisfied with just going in orbit or going to the moon. And if Elon Musk ever makes it to Mars, he will not be satisfied with going to Mars. He'll have to go further out. Man is never satisfied, is he? He always wants to go a little further. Well, did you know that in a glorified body, you will travel much faster and go farther out than any NASA, SpaceX, or Blue Origin, or Boeing rocket they could ever make? You're going to go faster and further. Folks, where are you going at the rapture? Where are you going? You're not going to Mars. You're going past Mars. Are you going to Jupiter? Go past Jupiter. You're going as far north as you can go to the third heaven. No spacecraft will ever go there. Not even close. These scientists always get a kick out of how they keep realizing how large the universe is. We thought it was so big. Now we thought it's so much bigger than we thought. And our galaxy is just a little smidget in the grand scheme of things. And they're blown away by that. And they should be, because they ought to realize there's a creator who made all that. And no matter how technologically advanced you get, you could never reach the Creator. You could never reach heaven without Jesus Christ. Just no way. That's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's space travel. Technology, no matter how good they get things, will never be able to equal the capabilities of a glorified body. So that there's Mr. Musk. There's Elon Musk. What's he got to do with the message? There you go. He's spent his life, millions, if not billions of dollars. How far can I go? How much better can we be? Isn't that what he's all about? How fast can we go? It's all about that. How many people can I get on a spacecraft at one time and take them to the moon or to Mars, whatever? His whole life is about this. You know what we ought to be concerned about? How many people can I take with me to heaven? Right? See, how Elon Musk, the poor fella, he's got some motives that are good. He's just got the wrong direction for his motives. He's leaving the Bible out. See, he knows there's something out there better than here. Isn't he right? Heaven's better than earth. He knows there's something out there, but he's missing the direction because he's missing out on the scriptures and what they say about that. All right, now, how about good old Arnold Schwarzenegger? He's one of the first well-known bodybuilders that got really popular, right? And old Arnold, he's getting a little older now. Have you noticed that? His muscles aren't so big anymore, are they? And old Arnold, it's going to probably end up pretty sour for him because I got a pretty good idea. He was a steroid user. And you know how it usually ends for those fellas? They don't usually live to be as old as they should, and their deaths are usually very miserable because of that. And that hasn't happened yet, and I don't know what's going to happen to them. But all that time, and all that energy, and all that money he spent on, I'll have the perfect body. And everybody looked to Arnold. I know back in the 80s, everybody looked to Arnold. There's the guy. He's got the perfect body. And here he is. He's an old man now. He's older. And he don't have such a perfect body anymore. You know why? You can't maintain that. It gets old. It wears out. You just can't maintain it. But you know what? If you're saved, you'll have a perfect body one day. Right? See, something great. Folks, look forward to what's coming because this earth's got nothing to offer you except an artificial of the real deal. Something fake that your Bible says is real. They're going to try to do it their own way and they're going to fall short every time here on this earth. Now, how about Gordon Ramsay? Gordon Ramsay, he's a celebrity chef, right? He cooks. Y'all know who he is? I don't know much about him. I just seen him. He's kind of a crazy guy. He's got an interesting temperament to him. And he cooks up all this great food. And he's a critic, isn't he? He has all these people cook food, and he tries it out to make sure that they do it right. Isn't it interesting that millions of dollars are spent in the food industry? James and I have been talking about this and how people pour all this time and energy on their food tasting so good. And I think that's okay as long as you don't spend your life on it, like some people do. Folks, how's that food going to taste in heaven one day? Do you know there's a group of people here on this earth that ate food that came from heaven? And over in the Psalms, it describes, it says, man did eat angels' food. And I'm talking about the manna. You remember that? And you go back and look at what that tasted like, and it said it tasted like wafers of honey. Something about that honey again. There it is. Folks, enjoy your salvation now. Enjoy getting into your Bible now and seeing what awesome, great things are to come for those who are saved. Amen? And see the world. They get off all these tangents and they're just going the wrong direction, but they have a desire for something that saved people will have one day. We'll get to eat in the glorified body and not have any problems with any kind of health issues. We'll be able to go faster than the rockets that they make and not have any problems at all. Won't have to worry about exploding or anything like that. Folks, we'll have these things. We will have what all the bodybuilders and all the health experts are trying for so long. And you get it how? You get it through trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, for saved people, the best is yet to come. Now, I know we talk about the resurrection of our Lord, and it was a necessary part of the gospel, as Pastor mentioned this morning. Amen, amen, amen. But how about enjoying your Bible and learning about some things that are still to come that are going to be amazing? Now, you believe all this? You believe all this? I tell you, you bring most people in the world in here, and they would think that if we believe all this stuff, we must be crazy. Yet those same people will say, oh, Elon Musk, he's so smart. And they'll point you to all these experts. Oh, so great. No, I'll tell you who's great. The Lord Jesus Christ is great. And what you get now and in the future by knowing Him is far, far greater than anything this world will ever be able to offer. All right, so let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for showing us some great things from your scriptures this evening. Help us to just enjoy our salvation and realize we've got some great things to come. Lord, we thank you again on this Resurrection Sunday, how we can reflect back on what's already happened and what our Savior has done for us, and also realize that we will have a body like our Savior's one day. And Lord, that has nothing to do with us, all to do with you. And I just pray for encouragement among all of us here tonight and going through the week. And I know this world certainly is capable of dragging us down. And I pray that we would, instead of being dragged down, just claim the power of Jesus Christ and rise above all the nonsense of this world. And I pray for our time of invitation here that we would just respond in a way that honors you. And we pray this in our Savior's name.